Hare Krishna to all the devotees at Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu vevacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti Vaishnavrindiki jai. I hope all of you are safe and healthy and coping up with this situation. Situation in India is getting bad to worse, but devotees understand that this material world is temporary and dukkhalayam. So somehow by mercy of Guru and Krishna, devotees here at Vizag are safe and healthy, and I wish and pray same for all of you. So happy Akshay Tritiya. So today we will discuss on the glories of this very, very special day called Akshay Tritiya. So according to the Jyotish Shastra, Akshay Tritiya is a day where you don't have to see any muhurta. Every single moment of that day is very auspicious. Usually, you know, we want to do something good, then we need to see a muhurta, a particular time from here to here. Okay, this is auspicious time. But according to the Jyotish Shastra, there are 4 days in the year where you don't have to see any muhurta. It's completely mangala, auspicious day. So one day is Akshay Tritiya, the other is Vijay Dashami, and the other day is the first day of Kartik month. And the fourth day is the first day of the month of Chaitra. So here in South India, they celebrate this as Ugadi. So these are the 4 days, Jyotish Shastra say, that you don't have to see for an auspicious time. The whole day is auspicious. Such auspicious is this tithi of Akshay Tritiya. So the word in Sanskrit, Akshaya, Shaya means diminish, Akshaya means that which does not diminish. So Akshaya means that which does not diminish, it's eternal. So whatever activities one performs, it never diminishes, the result never diminishes. So if you see the Sanskrit letters, they start with A and the last letter is Ksha. So the whole point is Akshaya is like, till the time these the letters last, whatever activities you have done, the fruits will last that long. So it's a special day. So I thought that's it. We need to discuss on the glories and how do we utilize this day. But then again, having said this, there is a little paradox here. According to the scriptures, whatever you do on this day does not diminish. The result does not diminish. But in the spiritual life, even if you do spiritual activities on any other day also, it does not diminish. It's not about doing it on Akshay Tritiya. On any day of the year, if somebody is doing spiritual activities, if somebody is doing bhakti, if somebody is doing devotional service, it's transcendental, above sattva, rajas and tamas, and the results are definitely non-diminishing. Like we see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Neha bikramanashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat svalpam. Somebody does a little service, trayate mahato bhayat. He is protected from the biggest dangers. So that means if somebody does little devotional service, a little bhakti, then the results never diminish. Elsewhere in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have this sloka. Says sanketyam parihasyam va sanketyam parihasyam va stobam helanam eva va vaikuntha nam grahanam asesa gharam vidhu. Somebody chants the name of the Lord, whether jokingly or mockingly or as a part of a musical concert or whatever way, ases papa, ases agha is sin, so ases, unlimited sins will be destroyed. So that means time and again, In the scriptures it says that when somebody chants the holy name of the Lord, when somebody does devotional service, when somebody serves Vaishnavas, when somebody is reading scriptures, when somebody is hearing scriptures, all that which are part of the limbs of bhakti, the results never get diminished. So then what is so special for Akshaya Tritiya for devotees? And if we think about, let's say, materialistic people can benefit out of Akshaya Tritiya. But that is also not there, because whatever activity the materialistic people are performing without keeping Krishna in center, anyway the results will diminish because they are not permanent. Like for example, Akshaya Tritiya in India means there will be a great rush in the shops, you know, jewelry shops. People have a mad rush of buying jewelry and gold, and because they are with this thinking that if I buy gold this day of the year, I'll keep buying gold for the rest of the year, 365 days. So there is a mad rush. But the whole problem is, even if somebody is performing, let's say, some pious activity or materialistic activity or pious activity with a mindset that I will keep getting the result. But the thing is, we are not permanent in this world. So that means this Akshaya Tritiya, the Tithi, definitely is more beneficial for devotees, but at the same time, devotees, for them every day is Akshaya Tritiya, because they are engaging their senses and mind in service of Krishna. So what is so special about Akshaya Tritiya is, it's not only about the Tithi itself, but there were many, many special things that happened on this day. So apart from the Tithi itself being so auspicious that it never diminishes or gives beautiful result, there were wonderful things that happened on this day, and that is why as devotees we consider this Tithi as very, very special. So the first thing that happened, just like for us Janmashtami is very important, Lord appeared, Ram Navami is very important, this day is very special because Parshuram appeared. This day is very special because Ganga descended. Bhagirath was, so sincerely and devotedly praying for many, many years. And on this day, Ganga Devi, she descends to the earth planet. So that's why it's very special. And this is very special because Treta Yuga. In fact, I was reading elsewhere that every Yuga, whether it is Sattva, whether it is Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga or Dwapar Yuga, all the Yugas, they have their beginning on this day. So on Akshaya Tritiya, the Yuga starts. And then Brahma starts creation on this day. So Brahma starts the creation on this day. And the scriptures, the writing of the scriptures started on this day. Vyasadeva was dictating the Mahabharata, and Ganesha, Lord Ganesha starts writing the scriptures on this day. So like that, there was such amazing, amazing events that happened on this day. And the Pandavas, they got the Akshaya Patra on this day from the sun god. So we all know the pastime of Akshaya Patra, how, it was a special magical pot. So you can keep getting as much as you want, and it will never stop. Never end, it can feed, it can unlimitedly feed, So like that, the Pandavas got the Akshaya Patra, the Ganga descended, the Vyasadeva started, dictating scriptures. And Vallabhacharya, if anybody is here from the Gujarati background, they know it's very special because Vallabhacharya started the worshipping of Srinathji on this day. And Sudama, he went to Dwarka on this day. He had audience with the Supreme Lord. And then we all know how Lord accepted the puff rice from Sudama. And in return, Lord gave him so much. So it became all the more special day where, he was never diminishing. I mean, so much wealth and so much love and so much affection he got from the Lord. So like that, there was... there's another thing very special today is, if you go to Vrindavan, you will see that today you can see the lotus feet of Banke Bihari, which is very rare. You can't see it whole year round. But on this day, they will show the lotus feet of Banke Bihari. We all know Banke Bihari are very, very special deities. They are self-manifested. There's a saint called Haridas. And he was living in a place in Vrindavan called Nidhuvan. He's from the Dimbarka Sampradaya. And one day, you know, lo and behold, while he's chanting in the groves, he sees the Lord, you know, right in front of him in a very beautiful form. And then he asks the Lord that, please stay like this, you know, I want to worship you in this form. And that's the self-manifested Banke Bihari deity. So on this day in Vrindavan, you can see the lotus feet of Banke Bihari. And also Kubera, he got the position of CEO. I mean, he became the treasurer of the Devatas on this day. All the wealth and position, he got it on Akshaya Tritiya day. So like that, there's a number of events. And especially for us here at Vishakhapatnam, it's very special because we have a very ancient Narsingh Dev temple here on the top of a hill. That's a very ancient temple. After Prahlad Maharaj, he decided to retire, he handed over his kingdom to Virochan. And after handing over his kingdom, Prahlad Maharaj came here to Vishakhapatnam. And he was there on this hill called Simhachalam. Simha is lion and Chala is the hill. So the hill of the lion, Prahlad Maharaj was here. And he was worshipping a very, very beautiful deity of Narsimhadevan, which is very, very different and very rare. Prahlad Maharaj had asked Narsimhadev something special here. He said, I've seen you, I've seen your form as Narasimha, but I also want to see that form with which you killed my uncle, Hiranyaksha. So then Lord manifested a combined form of Varaha and Narasimha. So Lord has a face of a boar, Varaha, and the body of Narasimha. So that beautiful darshan Lord gave to Prahlad here. And then Prahlad Maharaj said, I want to worship this form. Please stay like this. So then he started worshipping this beautiful deity of Varaha, Lakshmi Narasimhadev. And then when it was time for Prahlad Maharaj to leave, the planes from Vaikuntha arrived, Prahlad Maharaj left. And once he left, you know, slowly over a period of time, the service of this deity started getting ignored. And then they were just buried, under some bushes. So later on, after many, many years, on some other different yuga, Urvashi and Pururava Maharaj, about whom we hear in the 9th canto, they were once flying in their airplane above this hill, Simhachalam. And then to their surprise, the plane stopped midway. It wasn't moving front, neither it's going back. So then they landed here on this hill. And both the couple were just roaming around the whole hill. What's up? Why are we not able to get out from this place? What's happening? So that day night, they took rest there. So in the night, Lord came in the dream of Urvashi and he said, I'm here last many years, you know, it's quite hot here. Please remove me from the bushes. So next day when they saw there were some jasmine bushes, and they dig it up and they found the very sweet, beautiful deity, just little bit, just small little deity of Varaha Narasimhadev. And the moment they removed the deity, there was a celestial voice said, cover the deity with sandal, cover it with sandal. So immediately they covered the deity with sandal. And then they established the temple. And of course, later on, there were so many times, so many invasions and some Islamic invasions. And over the period of time, many times the temple was broken and rebuilt and broken and rebuilt. But the beauty about this self-manifested Varaha Lakshmi Narasimha Dev deity is, you cannot see them except today, on this Akshaya Tritiya day. The whole year round, they are covered with sandal. And so much so that at one glimpse, you will feel it's a Shivalinga. Because the deity is completely covered with sandalwood paste. So it looks like a Shivalinga. So whole year, you just pay obeisances, but you can't see them. Just see a lump of sandalwood. But today, on the Akshaya Tritiya day, they will remove the sandal. They have a Sahasra Ghata Abhishek. They will do Abhishek with 1,000 pots of water. And then you will see this beautiful Varaha Lakshmi Narasimha deity only for 12 hours. And by evening, they again start putting the sandal back. So on this day, it's a big thing. There are lakhs of people, lakhs literally, on the hill just for that darshan. So there are people who are, whole night in the queue. You know, one day before, they are in the queue. So that next day morning when the temple opens, they get the darshan. So it's a very, very special darshan. So Akshaya Tritiya day is very special. On that day, you can get the darshan of Varaha Lakshmi Narasimhadev. Of course, in Jagannath Puri also, it's a very special day because the Ratha, you know, the huge Jagannath Puri Ratha construction starts on this day. They start the construction and then they complete it by Ashada Shukla Tithi, and this is how the Rath Yatra happens. And of course, they have this very special ceremony called Chandana Lagi. They'll start putting the Chandan, and I believe it's not 21 days in Puri, they do it for 42 days. Continuously they will put Chandan for the Lord. And of course, today the one special thing that happens in Puri is, not today, it will go on for a couple of days, I think 21 days or something, they'll start the Nauka Vihar. So they'll take the Radha Madan Mohan, the Utsava Vigrahas, and a palanquin, take them to Narendra Sarovar, and they'll have a nice Nauka Vihar. And this is very special because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his, you know, when he was in Puri, he used to very enthusiastically participate in this procession with all the devotees chanting and hearing and dancing and doing kirtan. So very, very special thing. And of course, in South India, there is, you know, a place called Udupi. So there, today they will worship the Akshay Patra. They have that same Patra which was given to Draupadi, given to the Pandavas by Sun God. So they worship this Akshay Patra today in very grandly. And of course, elsewhere in South India, there's a place called Kumbakonam. So on this day, they will have all the 12 temples simultaneously doing Garuda Seva for the Lord, and which is like grand. It's a feast to the eyes to see the ceremonies happening. And the other special thing is the temples open today. Badrinath, Kedarnath, Gangotri, Jamnotri, they're all in high altitude and where there is a lot of snow whole year round. So it's closed for darshan because it's not accessible humanly. But now they'll open it for summer. So today on the day of Akshaya Tritiya, they open all the shrines, they'll open all the temples. So there are just so many such beautiful things. And especially from today onwards for 21 days, if you are in Vrindavan or if you get an opportunity anytime to go to Vrindavan, it's beautiful darshan. You can, because all the deities are scantily dressed. So you can happily see their arms and their feet and their... Oh, they will not put much clothes like Radharaman. We go for Radharaman darshan on the Akshaya Tritiya day. It's full bangla. They just decorate with completely flowers. And then from today, a special diet starts. The lords are given the fruits which will cool them down. Some melon and some cucumbers. And then they're decorated with flowers, sometimes flower dresses, completely chandan. And something special is in the midday, Rajabhoga, there is no aarti for the Lord. Because now the hot season has started. So they don't want to bring the flames close to the Lord. So they do aarti with flowers. So everything is with flowers and flowers. So like that there's... And in Vrindavan, 5,000 years ago, very, very special pastime happened on this day, Akshaya Tritiya. So Yashoda Mata was making some savories, you know, very special savories. And Krishna goes and asks Yashoda Maya, what's up? You know, you're so busy today from morning, you haven't looked at me, you haven't spoken to me. What are you cooking? So many things, you know. And then she's making a special dish called matari. Now, they are Gujaratis, you know, this is a very, very special dish called matari. So usually they make it when somebody is going for a travel, you know. So it's a dry savory. So Krishna says, well, you never made this for me. What is this you are making? So Yashoda Mata says, look, your father is, you know, going to travel today. So I'm just making all the preparations. So he said, really? Father is going somewhere? I never knew that. Where is he going? So Yashoda Mata says, don't keep asking me 100 questions. I need to work. You go and ask your father. So Krishna runs to Nanda Maharaj and says, Father, where are you traveling? Mother said she's packing things for you. And then Nanda Maharaj says, I'm going to Prayag. So Krishna is asking, what is Prayag? What do you do there? Why do you have to go there? And then Nanda Maharaj tells him a very nice pastime. See, Nanda Maharaj, in his, in Vraja, they had this system. Whenever they all get together, they used to hear some nice katha, especially if some saintly people are visiting them, which used to happen regularly, they used to hear katha. So Nanda Maharaj says, Lala, yesterday I heard one very beautiful katha. There was one very nice sadhu who came to visit us and he told me about the glories of Ganga. So he was saying that once there was an eagle who was, you know, trying to eat a snake. So when this eagle carried the snake on the in its beak and it was flying over Ganga, you know, the snakes, they're very long, right? So the tail was, you know, very long and hanging in the air. Now as they were flying over Ganga, the tail touched the waters of Ganga, and immediately the snake transformed into four-handed Vishnu form. So now, because the snake became, you know, had got the Vishnu form, instead of trying to eat, now Garuda put him on the back and dropped him to Vaikuntha. So Nanda Maharaj said that when I heard this pastime, I was so inspired. Simply by touching Ganga, a snake can get the four-handed Vishnu form. I definitely want to go to Prayag and I want to take bath in the confluence of Ganga and Yamuna and Saraswati. So now Krishna says, okay Baba, is it okay? Can you go tomorrow? Not today. So Nanda Maharaj says, why? What's special tomorrow? Then Krishna says, but Baba, tomorrow is Akshaya Tritiya. So it's not that Akshaya Tritiya became popular recently. It has always been a very special day. So Nanda Maharaj says, you are right. Maybe I should go on Akshaya Tritiya day. So then the packing is going on, and that night Nanda Maharaj takes rest. Now in the morning, Nanda Maharaj goes for taking bath. Now usually, because he was a king, he had a separate sarovar where he takes bath. There's a separate sarovar or kunda for Yashoda Mata. There's a separate kunda for Krishna. So when Nanda Maharaj goes to his kunda for taking bath early morning, Brahma Muhurta, what he sees, there is already somebody who's taking bath there. And the person who's taking bath there is all dressed up. He's having his crown and jewelry, and he's all dressed up and he's taking bath. And not only he's taking bath, what he's doing is very weird. He's dipping inside the water, coming out, again rolling in the dust, again going and dipping inside the water, coming out, again rolling in the dust and laughing loudly, roaring actually. So then Nanda Maharaj very humbly goes and says, dear sir, who are you? I've never seen you in Rajabhumi. What are you doing? I'm unable to understand your activity. So then he says, well, I am Tirtharaj Prayag, you know, and I come here once in a year on Akshaya Tritiya day. So Nanda Maharaj says, why is that? So he says, well, whole year round, people come and take bath here and they deposit their sins. So where am I supposed to empty them? So once in a year on Akshaya Tritiya, I come here and I take bath in the holy waters here and I roll in the dust of Vrindavan and get myself relieved. Nanda Maharaj gets surprised. He walks a little further. On the other side of the bank, he sees ladies are taking bath and all well dressed up and beautiful damsels. Then he goes and asks that, oh, mothers, who are you? And he says, well, I'm Narmada. She's Saraswati. Or she's Ganga. Or she's, you know, and they keep introducing all the different, you know, holy rivers. And they say, well, we come here every year. Once in a year, Akshaya Tritiya, because whole year, you know, people deposit their sins in our water. So we come here once in a year and we take bath in the holy waters of Raja. Nanda Maharaj was amazed seeing all this. And then he takes bath and comes back. Of course, that's why that sarovar is called Pavana Sarovar, because all the tirthas, they come and take bath in that. And then Nanda Maharaj comes back home and Krishna is already packed back. So Baba, are we going? I'm also coming with you to Prayag. And Nanda Maharaj says, we're not going anywhere. Everybody's coming to Vraja, so we're not going anywhere. Lala, you know, Vrindavan and Vraja is more glorious than any other Tirtha. So that special pastime took place on this day, Akshaya Tritiya, where the rivers and the holy waters, they come and take bath in Vraja. And of course, in ISKCON, we don't talk much about Parashuram Avatara, but today is the day that Shakta Vesha Avatara, Parashuram, descended on the earth. So that is also one very, very beautiful pastime. We hear from Srimad Bhagavatam how this King Gadi was a very virtuous king, and he had a beautiful and qualified daughter called Satyavati. But Maharaj Gadi was always worried, who is going to marry my daughter? My daughter is highly talented. Will I ever get somebody equal to my daughter's talents? So he makes a very unusual announcement. He says, anybody who can bring 1,000 horses, and each horse should have one black ear and one white ear. If you can get me such 1,000 horses, then you can, you know, I'll get my daughter married to you. Now that was a condition, it was impossible. But one fine day, he sees a muni called Richika. He comes there with 1,000 horses. And Maharaj Gadi is so happy. You know, he's amazed, you know, because it's not possible. There is no such horses in Brahma's creation. So it looks like this Rishi has created them out of his own bala, out of his own tapobala, his austerities. So then he becomes very happy and he gets his matter, and then he gets his daughter married to Richika. Now, after some time, Satyavati approaches Richika Muni, says, "I want to have a child." So Richika Muni says, "Okay, I will prepare a very special potion for you. So if you take that potion, you'll have a very virtuous son, very Brahmanical son." She was very happy. When she shared the same thing with her mother started requesting Satyavati that even I don't have son and your husband is highly talented Brahmana. Can you ask him to make a potion for me? I will also like to have a son, because they had only one daughter, Satyavati. So Satyavati requests her husband, "Can you make a potion for my mother too?" And he says, "All right." So he makes two potions. Now Satyavati is super excited and she takes these two potions, one for her and one for the mother. So and she takes it to the mother, you know, "Here, this is what my husband has prepared for you." Now the mother becomes a little suspicious. She says, "Look, I'm sure your husband is partial to you. He must have made something really extraordinary for you. And for me, he must have made something simple. Let's exchange it. You take mine, I'll take yours." Now she's a little reluctant. "My husband will get angry, mother. Don't do that. Please take what he has made for you." And she says, "No, I'll take yours." And she keeps insisting. She finally gives up. "Okay, fine, you take my portion, I'll take yours." Now they do this exchanging and nobody knows about it. After a few months, you know, as the pregnancy progresses, they conceive and they are pregnant, both of them, mother and daughter. After some time, one day in the evening, Richika Muni, he asks his wife, "Are you hiding something from me?" And she says, "Why do you ask?" She said, "I can see a kind of a light coming out from your womb. Can you tell me the truth? You know, I feel there's something wrong." Then she accepts. She surrenders. "Yes, you know, my dear husband, this is what I did." And then he says, "Oh, alas, alas, why didn't you tell me?" He said, "You have done a big mistake. I had made a very special potion for your mother so that she gets a very brave, courageous, kshatriya mentality, you know, a kshatriya son. And for us, I had made a potion where to get a Brahmanical, sattvic, and a simple, you know, simple child. Now did you, because you exchanged it, now you will give birth to a kshatriya." Now Satyavati, she started crying, "No, I don't want to give birth to a kshatriya. I want somebody like you, you know, my dear husband, a sattvic brahmana." So he says, "But what do I do now? You never told me what this exchange of pots." So the wife says, "Okay, now do something. Please help me." Then he says, "Okay, I can't do anything much about it. Okay, one thing I can grant you is, you won't give birth to a kshatriya. I can push it forward. So you will give birth to a brahmana and your son will give birth to this virtuous kshatriya who is upcoming." And she said, "I'm fine with that." So that's how Parshuram's birth was delayed. So then Satyavati gives birth to Jamadagni, who is a sattvic with all Brahmanical qualities. And Jamadagni gets married to Renuka and gives birth to Parshuram. So that is how Parshuram ji appears in this planet. So we all perceive him as an angry man, but it was not like that. This whole thing is, he was unable to tolerate injustice. So what the whole point of his descending on this earth was to relieve them from these kshatriya rulers who had become very immoral. Instead of protecting the citizens, they were exploiting them. So 21 times, you know, he killed all the kshatriyas on the planet. And of course there are many, many sweet pastimes. How Parshuram, he was very, very obedient to his father. Now, Jamadagni and Renuka, they were very ideal couples. And Renuka was so chaste with her body, mind and soul. She never ever in her thoughts also thought about any other man. So because of her chastity, she had some special powers. So whenever Jamadagni Muni used to do some yajna and she has to go and fetch water, she never carried any pot to fetch water. Simply go to the river body. Whatever mud is there on the river bank, with her hand, she'll immediately make a pot, fetch water and come back. You know, otherwise actually, you can't make a pot like that. They will break, you know, the moment you put water. They're supposed to be baked and, you know, there's a whole process to make mud pots. But she was so pious and she was so chaste that by the power of her chastity, she could make a pot then and there. So one day she was just, you know, trying to make a pot to get some water for her husband's yagya. And she watches a Gandharva flying over, you know, above the river body. And he was very handsome and he was singing very beautifully. So for a minute, her mind got diverted and she was like, yeah, he's handsome. He sings good. Wow. That's it. And her chastity was lost, because those were the days when even if somebody has a bad thought in the mind, they have to get the result of it. Like, you know, it is said in Kali Yuga, if you perform a sinful activity physically, then you are punished. But if something in the mind, then you are forgiven. This is Kali Yuga's special discount. But in the other yugas, it was not so. Even if mentally you think something which is sinful, and then you have to get the result of that sin. Now she mentally thought, oh, he's good looking or something like that. And then very next moment she understood. She was aware. She was conscious. Oh, what did I do? And then immediately she started making a pot to bring, you know, fetch some water. But this time when she's trying to make the pot immediately breaks. And she again tries and the pot breaks and the pot breaks. And now she doesn't know with what face should I go back home? What should I tell my husband? So when she comes back to the ashram without fetching water, he understands, because Jamdagni was also very, very powerful rishi. So he immediately closes his eyes and he understands. So he says, I know what you have done. Don't enter the ashram. Stay put. Stay there. And then he tells Parshuram, you know, kill your mother. Chop her head. Now Parshuram is just back from, you know, from the forest. He doesn't know what happened. But he was so obedient to his father. The moment he says, chop her head, he immediately takes a, you know, and chops her head off. And the father becomes very happy. He said, you're so obedient to me. No questions asked. You immediately executed my order. What can I do for you? Please ask me some boon. And Parshuram says, I want my mother should be alive again. And not only that, she should not remember that I was the one who killed her. So immediately she was again revived. So like that, amazing pastimes of Parshuram. So Parshuramji descended, appeared on this day. And for us, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, today is very, very special also because of this very, very beautiful pastime of Madhavendra Puri. How Madhavendra Puri started this tradition of putting sandal to Kheerachora Gopinath deities on this day. So we all know Madhavendra Puri is very, very special for all of us because we are coming from his parampara. This transcend, our parampara is a Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. And Madhavendra Puri is one of the very, very prominent gurus who actually gave this Madhurya Bhava, this worshipping of Radha and Krishna, this seed of this Madhurya Bhava. Our parampara comes from Krishna. Like there are four bona fide sampradayas. So our parampara comes from Krishna. So this knowledge, Krishna gave it to Brahma, and Brahma gave it to Narada. Narada gave it to Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva gave it to Madhva. And from Madhva it went to Padmanabha, from Padmanabha to Narahari, from Narahari to Madhava, and from Madhava to Akshabhya. And from Akshabhya it went to Jayatirtha, from Jayatirtha to Jnanasindhu, Dayanidhi, Vidyanidhi, Rajendra, and then from Rajendra went to Jayadharma, and from Jayadharma to Purushottam, from Purushottam to Brahmanyatirtha, from Brahmanyatirtha to Vyasatirtha, Vyasatirtha to Lakshmipati, and from Lakshmipati to Madhavendra Puri, from Madhavendra Puri to Ishwar Puri, and from Ishwar Puri to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Sada Goswamis, and then the parampara comes to Srila Prabhupada. So for us, Madhavendra Puri is very, very special because he is the Param Guru Maharaj or of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is this very special pastime in Chaitanya Charitamritam, Madhya Leela chapter 4. After Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, he wants to go to Vrindavan, but the devotees, they cheat him. Instead of taking him to Vrindavan, they take him to Shantipur. And then Lord sees, oh, you know, when he sees Ganga, he says, oh, this is Yamuna, we have reached Vrindavan. And then he sees Advaita Acharya is coming in the boat and he's surprised and he's asking, Advaita Acharya, what are you doing in Vrindavan? Then he says, my Lord, this is not Vrindavan, this is Shantipur. So then we know how Sachi Mata requests the Lord that please don't go far away, stay in Puri. So Mahaprabhu agrees. So now when Mahaprabhu is going from Mayapur, that is from Navadvip to Puri, on the way he touches this place called Remuna. And in Remuna he visits this Khir Chor Gopinath temple, and he's with Mukunda and Nityananda and all his followers. And when they go inside this Khir Chor Gopinath temple and they are dancing and doing kirtan, the flower helmet from Gopinath's head falls on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu stays there overnight because he wants to take the Khir Prasadam, which is very famous of that temple. So at that time, Mahaprabhu tells Nityananda, says, "Hey Nityananda, do you think anybody is more fortunate than that Madhavendra Puri for whom the Lord stole the sweet rice?" And then the devotees become very curious. "The Lord stole the sweet rice? Is it? What is that? Mahaprabhu, please tell us. We want to know more about this pastime." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally explains this whole pastime to all the devotees sitting there. So it's very, very special. And I especially like that line where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that this knowledge or this pastime was told to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Ishwar Puri, and now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling this to his followers. And I thought that this is so beautiful. You know, this is like giving us a lesson that how the spiritual knowledge is passed on by Shruti, by hearing. One hears from the Guru, and that is how one progresses in spiritual life. Like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam nanina tatvadarshana. It has to come in a disciplic succession, and the spiritual journey starts by hearing. One may have access to Gita base, one may have access to Veda base, but that doesn't give us access to bhakti. The access to Krishna Prem, the access to bhakti happens only when we hear from a guru, when we hear from a devotee. And here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so sweetly, he's telling that, you know, he heard from his guru and now I'm telling you. That he just wants to teach us, this is how it goes. So bhakti means you have to hear. Hearing is the beginning of bhakti, shravanam. That's why I wonder that, maybe that is why Krishna never gave, he gave us eyelids, you know, because we can close our eyes in the night, but there are no lids for the ears, because we have to keep hearing Krishna Katha all the time, you know. So, because the only way, that's why you see in Navavida Bhakti also, when Prahlad Maharaj quotes this sloka in Bhagavatam, the first thing he says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Shravanam, one's supposed to hear, then our spiritual life begins, because we can't see Krishna with our eyes. We can only see Krishna with our ears. Because when we see Krishna with our eyes, we may only see a statue, we may only see the marble or the metal. But the only way we can see Krishna is with our ears. So shravanam, you know, shravanam, hearing. So then this hearing starts. All the devotees are very eagerly hearing, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling this beautiful pastime. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins by telling that how this Madhavendra Puri, one day he was sitting near the Govinda Kund in Vrindavan, and he was chanting. Now, Madhavendra Puri had this very special habit, or rather I could say, Madhavendra Puri had this attitude of ayachaka. Usually, the saintly sannyasis also, there are different types of sannyasis. Some are one who do madhukari. They actually go and beg food from different houses. But there are some sannyasis who are ayachaka. That means they will not beg anything. They'll just sit in one place. If that day somebody comes and gives them prasadam, they'll take it. Otherwise, they'll fast. And that was Madhavendra Puri. Even we see about Raghunath Das Goswami, how though he was from such a rich family, when he came to Puri, for some time he was begging in the front of Simhadwaram. But after that, he stopped begging, you know. He said, "Why should I beg? The moment I beg, I'm getting all kinds of thinking. Person who gives me is nice. Oh, this person did not give me, so he's not nice. So better I stop begging." And he started taking prasadam from those charity counters. And then after some time, he thought, even taking from these charity counters is not correct. I'm taking somebody's part. If I don't eat, somebody else will get that prasadam. And then he started taking those prasadam which were thrown away, you know, which even the cows were uninterested to take because of the foul smell coming out, you know, the Jagannath prasadam, which were thrown away. And that he used to take and wash and eat. So Madhavendra Puri, he was just, you know, sitting under a tree next to Govinda Kund and just chanting. And then he sees a small little boy comes and he's so sweet and he says, "Baba, you know, looks like you are hungry. Why don't you, you know, go for bhiksha? And, you know, you don't want to eat? Look at what I brought for you. I bought some milk for you. You haven't eaten whole day." So Madhavendra Puri is very surprised and he says, "How do you know that I haven't eaten? Who are you?" So he says, "I'm Gopal." So Gopal means, you know, there are two meanings to it. Gopal means I'm Nandanandan Gopal. Gopal also means that I'm the one who takes the cows for herding. You know, just a go is cows and Gopal is one who takes care of the cows. So he says, "Well, I don't know. Some ladies who had come to take some water from the kunda saw you sitting whole day. They were gossiping. So I thought, how can somebody in our village go hungry? So I brought some milk for you. Anyway, I have to tend cows. Take this milk and keep the empty pot. I'll come and collect it in the evening." So Lord just leaves, and when Madhavendra Puri, he just takes that milk, oh, he's so ecstatic, you know, he could understand there is something so different about this milk. And then in the evening, he's waiting for the boy to return, but the boy never came. And he somehow snoozes, just taking, you know, he just closes his eyes and he's snoozing. And then he sees this beautiful dream in which this little boy is holding his hand and he tells him, "Baba, come here." And then he takes him near the bushes and he says, "Look, I've been here for many years. Can you please bring me out? I was waiting for you. Why did you delay? Please take me out from this place." And he disappears. So Madhavendra Puri understands, oh, so looks like that was Krishna. So next day he just gets some villagers and then they go to that place and they do the digging. And yeah, lo and behold, they find a beautiful deity of Gopal. Very, very special deity. Now, this deity of Gopal has his left hand, you know, raised up, you know, the form of lifting Govardhan. And the right hand, a fist is resting on the waist, you know. Very beautiful form of the Lord. Just like how, you know, in Stavavali, Raghunath Das Goswami, he explains, he says, Nijapati bhuja danda chhatra bhavam prapadya pratihata madadrishto danda devendra garva atula pratula shaila shreni bhupam priyamme nijanikata nivasa dehi govardhanatvam. He's explaining that how, you know, Nijapati bhuja danda, oh, Krishna's hands look so beautiful. Govardhan is like a big umbrella and Krishna's hand is like that stick of the umbrella, you know, so beautiful. So this form of the Lord is very beautiful. So then they take out the form, they give the form, you know, this beautiful deity of the Lord, and they place it on the Govardhan, and then they give some backrest, and they immediately start making preparations. They start cleaning up the deity. Now the deity had been lying there, you know, for many years now, because those days whenever there was this Islamic invasions, you know, the pujaris, they used to hide the deity sometimes inside the water, sometimes somewhere, you know. So because of many years being under, you know, under the soil, oh, there are all, you know, it's all dirt everywhere. So they bring 900 pots of water from Yamuna and they do this abhishek of the Lord, and then with Panchagavya and then with Panchamrita, they do the abhishek, and then a small temple is constructed and then the deities are established. Now the moment the temple is constructed means there will be temple inauguration. So then Madhavendra Puri has a grand inauguration. So all the villagers, they come from different places, and then this temple inauguration happens. And usually temple inauguration is for 1 day, 3 days, 1 week, but this happens for 2 years continuously because the villagers are so excited. Of course, I'm trying to run, you know, very quickly and trying to make it short. But if you want to relish the explanations, you should go to Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela chapter 4. All the explanations of how the inauguration happened. How many pujaris were making dal, how many brahmanas were cooking the wet sabji, how many brahmanas were making the dry sabji, how many were making chapatis. And it was like as if there were hills like a big annakuta, hills of rice and rivers of dal, and very, very grandly. So when all the villagers from nearby, they come and then, you know, they enjoy the festivities and then they take prasadam. And then they say, wow, this is very nice. Maybe we will sponsor the prasadam tomorrow. So they sponsor the prasadam tomorrow. So they bring from their village, you know, bullock carts full of fruits and vegetables and savories and sweets, and they sponsor it. And then that day somebody eats and they says, wow, maybe we will sponsor tomorrow from our side. So like the somebody or the other keeps sponsoring, and for whole 2 years the inauguration keeps happening. Inauguration, every single day they are celebrating, you know, feast. And finally after 2 years, as the festivals slow down, Madhavendra Puri starts training them. And then all the pujaris, you know, all the brahmanas, how they have to do the worship and everything. Now, one day it so happens that the Lord comes in Madhavendra Puri's dream and says, I'm very happy with your service, but I'm still feeling hot. It was for a long time I was buried under the earth. So can you go and get some sandalwood for me? So from where the Lord wanted sandalwood? From Malaya region. Now that sandalwood is quite famous, the Malaya sandal. So Lord says, can you go and get it from me? That's what the Lord says in the dream. So when Madhavendra Puri gets up the next day, oh, he's so happy. Oh, such a beautiful seva Lord has given me. You know, I'll immediately depute all the pujaris for all the seva puja here, and I'll leave for getting sandal. And I thought that was so beautiful. You know, though Madhavendra Puri was an old man, you know, very old. I think by the time he took sannyas only, he was 75 or something. So we can imagine after this all thing must have happened, he must be maybe in his late 80s or 90s when this instruction was given. But he was so enthusiastic, like a young boy, ready to render service. And especially the takeaway from this pastime of Madhavendra Puri, it's very close to my heart, is the service attitude of Madhavendra Puri is so inspiring. You know, when we hear it may sound simple, but it's not that simple, that you wholeheartedly do the service of the Lord, coming out of your comfort zone. It's not so easy, you know. I mean, imagine anybody of us get this dream, you know, and Lord comes in the dream and says, transfer all your properties to ISKCON temple. We'll say, well, maybe it was my illusion. I don't think, you know, Lord will say like that. Why will the Lord say like that? Because we are, you know, we cannot totally surrender, you know. But you see, Madhavendra Puri, what Lord asked him to do was something really big. It was not normal. There were no, it was not that he went happily on a bullock cart or a horse cart, and there were no cell phones, and there were no trains, and there was no GPS. And but he just, and the beauty, what I like is, it's not that he said, okay, Lord wants Chandan, all right, I'll just delegate it to somebody, I'll depute somebody who are youngsters, let them go and do it. He personally did it, and that's such so inspiring, that how one should be as sadhakas, for all of us devotees, that how one should be so attached to one's service. The essence of our spiritual life is to somehow or the other get attention of Krishna, because the goal of our life is to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Fine. So how do you go back to Goloka Vrindavan? So now somebody may say, I'll do my chanting, I will do my sadhana, but okay, hold on. What that chanting which we are doing is not even counted actually. That 16 rounds is, Srila Prabhupada said 64 rounds. But because devotees said, you know, we have service, so he reduced to 32. But then devotees said 32 is not possible. So he said, okay, at least minimum 16. So like Haridas Thakur, we are not able to do 192 rounds. Okay, let's say someday we do it also. Still our chanting may not be so pure because of the spider webs. Because of the spider webs, you know, the spider webs inside our heart. You know, I'm reminded of this pastime. Of this very beautiful story. You know, there was one man who was regularly going for satsang. So once his guru asked, you know, I see nowadays you're very dull and very, you know, sad. What happened? He said, I had a big loss in my business, you know, because of all this corona lockdown. The guru said, oh, that's about it? Just for the business loss? Don't worry. I have a Chintamani stone. You know, I have this stone, touchstone. Take it and everything you know touches to it, it'll become gold. He became very happy. He just took the stone and he was an oil merchant. So oil merchant, you know, producing oil then, you know. So he has those big iron barrels where he used to store oil. So he thought this is a great opportunity. What I'll simply do is I'll just take this touchstone and touch those iron barrels and I'll become a rich man. So after some time, he stopped coming for the satsang. So Guruji is thinking, what happened to this, you know, I gave him this Chintamani stone and he stopped coming. So after 6 months, you know, Guruji visits him. So when he visits him, you know, this disciple is very sad and, you know, in a very, very pathetic situation. So Guruji says, what happened to you? You know, I see that you have become, you know, poor and you are suffering so much. What happened? Didn't you use my Chintamani stone which I gave you? Then he said, Guruji, don't ask me. Please don't ask me that question. Very sensitive. Because of that, I lost faith on you. Then Guruji said, what did I do wrong? He said, you told me it's a touchstone. And I took it with so much faith on you. But this is not a touchstone. It doesn't work. It's not changing anything into gold. Guruji said, it's impossible. I have given you touchstone. He said, come Guruji, I'll show you. Please come with me. So Guruji said, yeah, please show me. Where is the touchstone? He said, look, you see this big iron barrel there? I have put the stone inside that. Then Guruji said, come on, bring a ladder. Let me see what happened to the stone. So they brought a big ladder and then Guruji gets up on the ladder and he peeps down. And what he sees, to his surprise, the stone never touched the iron barrels because there were lots of spider webs inside. Because for many years, for some time they hadn't used it due to the lockdown or whatever. So there were lots of web there. So the stone was simply hanging on those spider webs. It never touched the iron, you know. So now Guruji said, look, what's happened? You know, that stone hasn't even touched. It's all covered by spider webs. That is why it did not change into gold. But I gave you an original touchstone. So similarly, you know, when we hear Krishna Katha, you know, it actually supposed to, or when we do the chanting of holy name, it's actually supposed to purify us immediately. It's like an effect, you know, just like, you know, if there's a pile of hay and you put a matchstick, immediately it will burn. But the problem is with us, there are lots of spider webs. So the problem is, even if we chant 100 rounds or 192 rounds with so many spider webs, we may not be able to chant purely. So if we can't chant purely, we can't do purely, then how should we attract Krishna's attention? So the scriptures has given us one very nice formula. If you want to get Krishna's attention, then do devotional service. That's the only way we can attract his attention, when we serve Krishna. The point is, Krishna has everything. How do we attract him? Let's say I want to attract Krishna with my beauty. Let's say if somebody is very beautiful, maybe most beautiful in this world, but can they attract Krishna? No, because Krishna is more beautiful. Vallabhacharya says, right? What is that beautiful bhajan? He says, Adharam Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram, Nayanam Madhuram, Hasitam Madhuram, Hridayam Madhuram, Gamanam Madhuram, Madhuradhipate Rakhilam Madhuram. Oh, Krishna is so madhur, so beautiful. So he won't get attracted by our beauty. Okay, let's attract Krishna with our wealth. We can't attract Krishna with our wealth, sorry, because he's Lakshmipati. He's the husband of Lakshmi. Okay, let's attract Krishna with our intelligence. Oh, let me compose beautiful poems and write 100 books. No, he's more intelligent than us. Okay, let me impress Krishna with my renunciation. I will become very renounced. Oh, that won't attract Krishna. He's more renounced. With 16,000 gopis having Rasa Leela every day, still he was completely renounced. The Cupid fall from the branch of the tree, watching that I'm trying to put all my arrows on Krishna, but nothing works. He himself becomes, stuck by Krishna. So no, our renunciation will not attract Krishna. Our beauty will not attract Krishna. Our intelligence will not attract Krishna. Our strength will not attract Krishna. He is a lifter of Govardhan Hill. What way we can attract Krishna? So what will attract Krishna? Oh, our fame. You know, how many likes I have on my video or on my Facebook, or even, you know, 100 videos go viral. That will not attract Krishna. So then how to attract him? So the scriptures say, the sadhu says, the gurus say, the only way one can attract Krishna is by doing devotional service. If somebody is doing service to Krishna, then Krishna becomes their servant. Yeah. See, a beggar may be watching a rich man every single day, but that won't help. The rich man has to look at the beggar. The moment the rich man looks at the beggar, his life will change, because now the rich man may give some donation to the beggar. So yeah, we are looking at Krishna every day. We are doing our bhajan, we are chanting. But the whole point is Krishna has to look at us. And for Krishna to look at us, the only thing that we can do to attract his attention is service. The moment we are doing service, Krishna will immediately take notice of us. Oh, he's trying to serve me. Oh, wonderful, he's trying to render some service, you know. I particularly like this pastime of Kulshekar Alwar. Kulshekar Alwar was a very famous king, very popular, very virtuous, and a bhakta of Lord Sri Ram. And he had this regular habit of hearing Ram Katha. So he used to call the sadhus in his palace and say, come on, read Ramayan. But there was one problem with him. He was so eager to serve Lord Ram that whenever, you know, that incident comes in Ramayan where they say that Ravan has, you know, kidnapped Sita, he'll get all excited. He'll forget that it's a katha and it is Treta Yuga is already over. He'll get all, you know, he'll get up and he'll say, where is my bow? Where is my arrow? How dare Ravana touch the mother, Jagat Mata Sita? I'm going to do something about it. Come on, let's get up. Let's get our horses ready. You know, I'm going to attack Ravan. And then the ministers have to tell him, sit down, my lord. It's over. That was in Treta Yuga. Please sit down, and nobody can control him. So from that time, the ministers, you know, they used to have censored sadhus. Whoever goes for reading Ramayana, they will tell him, hey, look, if you're going to read Ramayana, read only good parts. How Lord appeared and how Lord used to play in Ayodhya with his brothers. Don't read controversial parts. So they used to be very careful. Never read such controversial parts in Ramayana. But one day it so happened that the one who narrates Ramayana every day, he was sick. So his son came to narrate the Ramayana to Kulshekara. So when his son came, he doesn't know about this problem with the king. So he starts narrating, and you know that how Lord Rama is now in a war. From that portion he's doing the narration, and he's on the war with Ravan, you know, for bringing Mother Sita back. Now Kulshekar Alwar, he gets all excited. Where is my bow? Where is my arrow? I have to help Lord Ram. How dare? What does Ravan think he is? And he gets up, you know, and all the ministers are not able to control him. And he said, if you people are not going to help me, I'll go myself and help the Lord. So he gets up on the horse and he starts running and running, and all of them are running behind him, not able to control him. And then as he's running non-stop, you know, he just enters inside the ocean. Now he's going to drown. He's on the horse. He's just entering the ocean. The horse may go in the water. Now everybody is just crying. How can they help their king? They don't know what to do. And then just after some time, what do they see? Lord Ram comes out from the ocean with Sita and says, hey, Kulshekar Alwar, don't get so excited. Look, I won the war. Look, I got Sita Mata back. Let's go back home. We are victorious. And then Kulshekar Alwar becomes very happy. Oh, you got Sita back? Oh, we won the war, is it? Okay, let's go back. And then he just turns the horse and goes back. This is his regular thing. So, bhakti means service, you know. Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narad Muni, he defines bhakti as that. Bhakti means, in that word-to-word translation, he says, bhakti means devotional service, you know. I remember Prabhupada's disciple Vishal Prabhu, you know, he was sharing this once. He said that Prabhupada was doing parikrama in Vrindavan temple, and Vishal Prabhu saw Prabhupada from far. And he ran to Prabhupada and he paid his dandavat pranam and he said, Prabhupada, you know, it's our great fortune that we can have you in our life. You are a pure devotee of the Lord. We are so fortunate that you are the captain of our ship. It is our, you know, we have been roaming around in the cycle of birth and death for many, many years now. You have come. And he kept on glorifying. And after some time, Prabhupada, you know, took his stick and patted on his back and said, stop that, Vishal. Go and do some practical service. Go and do some practical service. And Prabhupada just left. And then Vishal Prabhu was sharing that, oh my God, you know, Prabhupada's so practical. You know, I mean, he doesn't get like, you know, carried away if somebody's, you know, if some flowery words. He wants to see practical service. What are you doing for the Lord, you know? So we, in case of Yashoda Mata also, we see, you know, the Damodar Leela. Lord was right in front, you know, in the lap of Yashoda Mata, but still Yashoda Mata puts Lord aside and runs to save the milk and runs to do service of the Lord. So by so many such pastimes, we understand that serving the Lord is more important than the Lord, because that's the only way to get Lord's attention. If we want Lord's attention, we have to serve Him. So when we serve Him, then we get His attention. So we see like that. And that's why Prabhupada, you know, he made such a beautiful arrangement whereby our bhakti is not passive, it's active. Either we are distributing books, or we are preaching, or we are cooking, or we are cleaning, or we are worshipping deities. We are actively serving the Lord. Because only by service we can get the Lord's attention on us, you know. I remember this beautiful pastime of Anant Alwar. You know, there was one devotee here in South India, in Tirupati. He used to, you know, work in a garden. He was an old man, very old man. He and his wife, they were, you know, taking care of a beautiful garden on the top of the hill. And every day they used to pluck flowers and make nice garlands. So one day he was making garland. And he was so dear to the Lord. The Lord Balaji, you know, in his Vigraha form, he talks to the other pujari and says, "Can you call Anant Alwar? I want to talk to him." So this pujari goes and says to Anant Alwar, "Well, Lord is calling you. He wants to talk to you." So Anant Alwar says, "Tell him I'll come after some time. I'm just a little busy now." This pujari gets amazed. You know, he goes and tells the Lord, "Anant Alwar says he's busy now. He'll come after some time." And after some time, you know, after the garland is over, he takes the garland and he goes to the Lord. Lord says, "Don't show me your face. I don't want to look at you. What an audacity you have. I'm calling you. I want to speak to you and you tell me, 'Wait, I'll come after some time.' I don't want your garland. Get out with your garland." And Anant Alwar is like, you know, still standing there. And he says, "Who are you asking to get out? You have not asked me to come here. My guru has asked me to come here. If my guru asks me to get out, I'll go out. Now, you know, I'm going to stay here." No, but this is my place. Lord says, this is my hill. You get out from here." Then Anant Alwar says, "Well, no, this is not technically your space. This has been given to you by Varahadev. You know, you are paying rent every day. So don't talk. A tenant cannot ask another tenant to vacate." So the kind of arguments Anant Alwar gives, the Lord says, "All right, Ananta, I don't want to argue with you anymore. Okay, you give your garland, I'll put it on my neck. It's difficult to argue with you. But why did you do that to me?" Then Anant Alwar says, "My dear Lord, I'm very sorry. It's just that my guru told me that whenever you pluck the flowers, immediately they should be made into garland. If you wait, then those flowers, they bloom. After the blooming is done, if I put it on your neck, they'll get spoiled very quickly. So before even those jasmine buds open, I want to make them into a garland and put it. They should bloom when they touch your body. That's what my guru has instructed." So I thought that was so beautiful. These all exalted devotees teach us that serving the Lord is the most important thing for a devotee. So we see that in Madhavendra Puri's life, how though he was so old, his whole point was to serve the Lord. We see in Ramayana also, when Lakshman is ready to leave, you know, with the Lord for 14 years exile, Lakshman's mother calls him in the private chamber and says, "Lakshman, I want to give you an instruction." Says, "What is that, mother?" Says, "Don't look at Lord Ram's face." Says, "What is that? You're asking me not to look at Lord Ram's face?" Then mother says, "Yeah, because he's so beautiful. You may keep looking at his face and you'll forget to do seva. Seva is more important. So don't look at the Lord's face. You serve Lord." And I thought that was so very beautiful. So Madhavacharya, so Madhavendra Puri, he decides to go to get chandan for the Lord. So he starts walking and then he reaches this place called Remuna. And at that time it's not Khir Chor Gopinath temple, it's only Gopinath. So he reaches this temple of Gopinath and there he's just discussing with some devotee, "What sevas you do here? What time is the aarti? What are the offerings you give?" While they are talking like this, they were explaining that, you know, we have a very, very special offering that we make to the Lord here, which is called Amrita Keli, a very special kheer. You know, we make a very special sweet we make with condensed milk. So as he is explaining, what Madhavendra Puri sees is, the pujari is walking behind with 12 pots of this Amrita Keli kheer, you know, the sweet rice, and it's smelling so nice. So as he is going inside the altar, Madhavendra Puri, for a second he thinks in his mind, oh, how I wish I could have tasted it. Then I could have made it for my Gopal. And the very next moment he thinks, oh, I shouldn't have thought like that. It's bhoga, it's not prasadam, it's still not tasted by the Lord, and I have got this desire to taste it even before the Lord. Oh, how wretched I am. What kind of thought, you know, I cannot show my face to the Lord. So immediately he leaves from that place. Now here what it happens, that this is the tradition of putting those 12 pots of kheer in front of the Lord every day. So ceremoniously, you know, after offering, the pujari takes all the pots back and he takes rest. Now in the dream, the Lord comes and says, you know, to the pujari, said, look, out of the 12 pots, one pot I have hidden for my devotee Madhavendra Puri, who had a desire to taste it. So it is behind my, you know, my feet. You know, come and take it and give it to Madhavendra Puri. So the pujari, when he gets up, he's like, oh, is this for real? And then he just runs to the altar. And as he opens the door and he peeps behind, he says, yes, the Lord has stolen one pot. Out of 12 pot, one pot is behind the Lord's lotus feet. So he immediately takes the pot, he starts crying, and then he runs in the market. Who is Madhavendra Puri? Who is Madhavendra Puri? The Lord has stolen this pot of kheer for you. And Madhavendra Puri becomes very shy, you know, with his head down. Oh, I'm supposed to serve the Lord. The Lord is serving me. And then he accepts that kheer prasadam. And then Madhavendra Puri is thinking in his mind, I should just move from this place immediately, because as this matter spreads to everybody, all will come and start praising me and paying obeisances to me. I don't want all that. So he just immediately left that place. And then he reaches Jagannath Puri. And then when he reaches Jagannath Puri, his fame has reached even before he reached. So all are like, hey, you are Madhavendra Puri, is it not? Oh, you are the one, right, for whom the Lord stole the kheer. And he's like, you know, but then he's so intelligent. You know, devotees know to use everything that Krishna gives, whether name, fame, wealth, beauty, intelligence, in Krishna's service. So he thought, okay, I'm famous, so how should I use it? So he says, well, I need an audience with the king. So they immediately take him to the king. And then he tells the king, you know, I need some camphor and I need some sandal. So those days getting sandal was not, even today, getting sandal in huge quantities, it's a big thing, it's not possible. So then the king immediately arranges for 650 kgs of sandal and 20 kgs of camphor, and all the arrangements are made and all the legal papers are done and all the money for the toll is arranged and everything is in place. And then, you know, Madhavendra Puri is on his way back. And then again he passes through the same temple, you know, Ramuna temple. And then again this time the pujari is like, even before the Lord steals for you, here it is, Amrita Keli, please have prasadam. And that night Madhavendra Puri takes rest in Kheerchor Gopinath temple. And again a dream comes. And in this dream again he's asked by the Lord, you don't have to come back to Vrindavan. It's okay, you just put this sandalwood on Gopinath here, and Gopalji in Vrindavan will get this sandal, you know. So then Madhavendra Puri, he accepts it. And I also thought that this was also one very, very beautiful and inspiring point for me personally, because sometimes, you know, when you serve the Lord, you think you're doing great favor, you know. Like I've seen many times, you know, little inconvenience in devotees' life. Now they'll say, but I've been chanting for 20 years now, but I've been serving for 15 years now, but I've been giving charity for 10 years now. So for us, it's like I did a seva, so now I did a favor on Lord, so now Lord has to reciprocate, as if it's like a by force. How dare you don't reciprocate, and things have to go like this only. I work so hard for Rath Yatra, and I remember, you know, 20 years, or let's say, maybe 15 years back, 15 years back, you know, we used to do Rath Yatra. In those days, we didn't have big chariots, small chariot we had, we used to have small Rath Yatra, and I remember the mentality that I had those days, you know. Sometimes it rains, you know, just on the day of, usually it rains on the day of Rath Yatra. Sometimes it drizzles, sometimes it rains heavy, then the whole programs get spoiled, you know. And I remember I used to have that complaining in my mind, you know. So much I worked hard and, you know, distributed so much pamphlets, got the people, made prasadam. Why can't Lord reciprocate by making a little bit, whatever is, you know, favorable, like making sure that it doesn't rain and all, you know, that complaining. And that over the period of time, I understood that service has to be unconditional. So that means I'll prepare for the ratham, I'll prepare prasadam, I'll invite devotees, I'll make the festival. And after that, if Lord wants to accept it, He'll accept it. Otherwise, He may not accept. Maybe there will be rain and the whole program will be disrupted. But it's not about the result. It's the whole thing is about the endeavor. And that is a sweet exchange that a devotee should have with the Lord. Okay, I do all this, but it's not that we keep expecting that He should also reciprocate in the same proportion, or, you know, this is the way He should reciprocate. Maybe He has some other ways of reciprocation. Just like when we offer bhoga to the Lord, it's not that Lord actually eats it with His hand, you know. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittamanti govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Lord, every sense is interchangeable. He can eat with His nose, He can eat with His eyes, He can eat with His ears. So His reciprocation is also different. It's not that if the Rathyatra becomes successful, then I feel, yeah, my Lord has reciprocated. I worked and my Lord reciprocated. No, His reciprocation may be different. He has accepted your service. Don't worry about that. Even if the program was unsuccessful, it rained and Rathyatra was disturbed, but He has accepted your service. The point that you worked hard last 15 days or 1 month to organize the event, the point that you have meditated last 1 month on, I'm going to make this festival like this, and the point that thought and that endeavor, your seva is successful. Lord has accepted it. But our problem is we have our own definitions of reciprocation. He has to reciprocate in this way, only then He has reciprocated. So over the years, this was one realization. I thought that it should be unconditional. I do my part and that's it. And leave whatever He wants to do. I just do whatever is under my control, you know. So I like this point where Madhavendra Puri is, he doesn't complain. Hey, look, you know, I'm old man. I travel all the way and get chandan for you. And now you say you don't want chandan. Wow, is it fair? Now you say I don't require it. You just give it to Gopinath. He just accepts it. Whatever way the Lord puts him into, he's ready to accept it. And I thought that was so, so very beautiful, you know. And I was so enthusiastic to serve the Lord, you know. That's so beautiful. I remember Prabhupada said, four things should not stop you from your service. Very important. Four things should not be the reason for you to stop your devotional service. And after these four things, he said, first thing is obstacles. Just because there is some obstacle, you should not stop your service. And it's not that Prabhupada said that, he actually showed it. Didn't Prabhupada have obstacles in his service? He had. He had those two heart attacks, but he never stopped the service. That means obstacles should not be the reason for us to stop service. Then he said, uncomfortable. If somebody says, I'm uncomfortable in this service. No, that should not be the reason to stop service. Prabhupada also was very uncomfortable when he was living in Gopal Agarwal and Sally Agarwal's house. He was very uncomfortable keeping his fruits with the same fridge, you know, where they used to store non-veg. But that did not deter him from his service. So you cannot give this reason, I'm uncomfortable. Obstacles should not deter. Other thing he said that you should not stop service thing if it's not giving you pleasure. Like sometimes we say, I don't like this service. Can I do something else? I don't like it. So Prabhupada said that should not be the reason to leave the service because I don't like it. So did Prabhupada like it or what when he came to America? He didn't like it. In the Jaladutta diary, Prabhupada writes, oh, today is Janmashtami. And if I was in Vrindavan, I would be celebrating it with my god brothers. But here I am alone in this cargo ship. So it's not that he was enjoying. Actually, we think that devotional service means it should be like a restaurant menu card. Like, you know, in the restaurant, you have a menu card. Idli, masala dosa, vada. Let me see what I can eat today. It's not a menu card where you select. Well, this seva I like, but this seva I don't like. No, seva means Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. You know, we are singing every day in the morning for Guru Puja. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kariya Akya. And then the next line. Arna Kari Ho Mane Asha. Arna Kari Ho Mane Asha. There is no other Asha. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Whatever has come out from Guru's mouth, that's my seva. And the last point Prabhupada says is, you should not stop service because there is scarcity. Didn't Prabhupada have scarcity? He had. He had no money to print those Back to Godhead magazines, and sometimes he was skipping breakfast just to go to Delhi. And even in the early days in America, you know, I remember this one pastime. Prabhupada was with some hippie in the car, and Prabhupada was very hungry. So he was sitting behind, and he saw there is an apple, you know, in the back. So he asked that hippie, oh, can I eat this apple? I'm hungry. So this person who was driving the car, he took the apple from Prabhupada and he said, yeah, even I'm hungry. So he ate half, and the other half he gave it to Prabhupada to eat. Now, there was a lot of scarcity. How much suffering was there? But he did not stop serving. So I thought that was very, very beautiful point, because for us, even a little discomfort, for what to speak about physical discomfort, even if there is a little emotional discomfort, mental discomfort, we want to stop our service immediately. I've seen devotees, simply because their ego gets hurt. I'm not comfortable with this devotee. I don't like the way he speaks. You know what happened the other day, what he said. So I don't want to do this service. Even if somebody emotionally, mentally, or, you know, disturbs us or touches our false ego, we don't want to do service anymore. But Prabhupada tolerated so much. So Prabhupada said these are the four things. Obstacle, if obstacles come, you don't stop. Scarcity, you don't stop. Just because you are uncomfortable, you don't stop service. And just because you don't like it, why I don't like it? Because service is not sense gratification. Sometimes we mess it up. We think, I should enjoy doing my service, but it's not for enjoyment. It is service means for serving. It's not an entertainment. It's not sense gratification. So we serve because, see, our definition of seva is so different. We think seva means when I'm done with my job and my wife and my children and my household works and my whatever I'm supposed to do, and now I have free time. So now in this free time I will do service. So that is not service, where you have now nothing to do, you are all free and all your materialistic activities are over and you still have time, then that time I will give for Krishna. And that's not service. Service is a serious thing. It's not a side dish, it's a main course. So first service, and then whatever time you have, you allot it. So like that. No, and of course, if somebody does seva sincerely, they are rewarded. I remember this past time where, you know, Prabhupada was so pleased with Bhavananda Maharaj, and Prabhupada told Bhavananda that you have done so nicely service, Bhavananda, when you come to Goloka Vrindavan, I'll hold you by your hand and I'll take you to the Kunja and I'll make you sit in front of Krishna, and then I'll leave you with Krishna there and go. And Bhavananda Maharaj asked, but Prabhupada, out of so many hundreds of devotees, where will I search you, Prabhupada, in Goloka Vrindavan? And Prabhupada said, you don't have to search for me, I'll search for you. The kind of seva that you have rendered to me, I'll take you to Krishna. So I was so inspired by Madhavendra Puri's service, you know, that no matter what kind of situation, circumstance and age and health, he never deterred from doing service. So like that, Madhavendra Puri, he offers the sandal. So on this day, Akshaya Tritiya day, Madhavendra Puri, with the help of pujaris, whatever chandan they had got for Gopalji, they just make a paste and they offer it to Kheer Chora Gopinath. So this Kheer Chora Gopinath deities are very, very, very special. They've been actually made by, they've been sculptured by Lord Rama himself. When Lord Rama was in Chitrakoot, Sita Mata asked, how will you look in your next incarnation? So then Lord Rama sculptured and says, look, this is how I'll look, you know, the form of Gopinath. So then Sita Devi was worshipping that form when she was staying in Chitrakoot. And that same deities are still there. If you go to this place called Remuna, you can see them. And, you know, and they are there. And now, of course, with Gopinath, there is Govinda and Rajbihari and Madan Mohan, and other deities are also there, but that is the Gopinath deities. And then we see the Madhavendra Puri Samadhi also is there in Remuna. So that's how the Chandan Yatra begins. On any Akshaya Tritiya day, it will be incomplete if we don't hear the Katha of Madhavendra Puri and his amazing, amazing service to the Lord. So on this beautiful occasion of Akshaya Tritiya, we have heard the pastimes of all these exalted devotees and different beautiful pastimes that happened, and we can pray to the Lord that he also engages us in his service, and we can do it sincerely in the way that pleases Guru and Krishna. So with this, I end it here. I think I've gone over time. Thank you so much. I'll end it here. Shila Shripad Madhavendra Puri ki jai. Akshay Tritiya Mahamahotsav ki jai. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, it's in Balasore, near to Puri, near to Jagannath Puri. Okay, so your question is that do we have to practically do something? Even if we do dhyana, is it not enough? See, frankly, somehow or the other, we have to remember Krishna. That is what is important. It's, see, Krishna accepts all kinds of service. So, the whole point is Krishna says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Different options he has given. But the only problem is, why we don't encourage dhyanam is, we have this body. The body has so many desires. The body is very active. I want to move my hand. I want to think something. I want to walk. It's very difficult to, you know, control our body and make it sit in one place. So what we are doing is, instead we are shifting the activities of senses, we are dovetailing them into Krishna's service. That way it becomes easier to remember Krishna. Frankly, the ultimate goal of spiritual life is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. This is what we have to do. So all these activities, devotional service that we are doing is will keep us in remembrance of Krishna. Will not able to forget Krishna. See, like a mother, when the mother loves the child, then she cooks for the child, hugs the child, makes the child take bath, dresses the child, buys things for the child, and that way demonstrates the love for the child. So similarly, because we love Lord Shri Krishna, this is our way of expressing it, demonstrating it by doing devotional service. So when we do devotional service, we are practically demonstrating our love for Krishna, and in that way we are purifying our senses. Otherwise, these senses are the one which is giving us actually trouble. The eyes want to see something nice, the ears want to hear something nice, the tongue wants to all the time eat something nice. So many desires are there. We are dovetailing them into Krishna consciousness so that our senses are purified. See, there is this material body, then there is inside a subtle body. You know, there is a covering of a subtle body on the soul, mind, ego and intelligence. So this mind, ego and intelligence, this subtle body travels with us wherever we go into different material bodies. So now when with our material bodies, which is made up of gross elements, you know, earth, water, fire, air, ether, with this, when we engage in Krishna's service, then slowly, slowly the subtle body, mind, ego, intelligence, it starts getting purified. So that is why we try to practically engage our senses and mind and intelligence in serving the Lord, so that it facilitates our remembrance of the Lord. At the same time, all said and done, Lord also says in that sloka, Mam namaskuru, pay obeisances to me, worship me, man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji, Mam namaskuru. So Lord himself is saying that he wants that. See, if you are a parent, you know that when your child brings something to you, you become so happy. Is that that's the child's way of reciprocation. Gives you some gifts or hugs you or gets you a glass of water, you become so happy. So similarly, we have this beautiful relationship with Krishna. When we do something for Krishna, actually we are not worth of doing anything. Krishna is the Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. But when we do little things in reciprocation, that makes him very happy. So the whole point is, you know, sometimes we think we can meditate, but our mind will take us here and there and we won't be able to do it for a long time. But we practically work for Krishna, then that the whole thing is meditation. 24 hours we are doing meditation if we are engaging ourselves in serving Krishna. It's not about temple or home, it's about under the direction of a spiritual teacher. So it should be not done whimsically according to what we like, it should be done under an authority. So in a family, maybe if you have a spiritual siksha guru or somebody, you can do it. If at present you don't have any siksha guru, then you do it under the guidance of the husband. The husband does it in the guidance of his guru, and like that in parampara. So whoever is a spiritual mentor, according to their directions, because the thing is we want to please Krishna. So how do we know Krishna is pleased? So this is one way, by the parampara. When we are pleasing the devotees in parampara and other Vaishnavas, in that way we are pleasing Krishna. So that is what is devotion. So whatever way, now given the lockdown situation, there are so many service one can render even from house. It will be very nice if we can have it go to a temple, an ISKCON temple, and render service would be very nice, excellent. Like Prabhupada says, this is Prabhupada's movement. ISKCON is Prabhupada's movement. When we serve in ISKCON temple, definitely Prabhupada becomes very happy. But now every house has also become like a branch of ISKCON, Bhakti Kutir, Shraddha Kutirs, where you have your vigrahas, you do preaching, that also pleases Prabhupada when you read scriptures. But it should be done under a guidance of some spiritual mentor. Yeah, the ideal would be is to hear, but then given situation we may not have that opportunity. So as much as possible we hear, but reading also should be done, because reading again is also hearing from Srila Prabhupada directly. What we are reading is Prabhupada is talking to us. It's not that we are only reading. We read also the purports and translations where Prabhupada is actually talking to us. So we are hearing actually. When we are reading also, we are hearing. We are hearing Prabhupada. When we are hearing from devotees, we are hearing from them. And when we are reading books, we are hearing from Prabhupada. So that's why Prabhupada gave, na, because he knows he wouldn't be able to physically stay with us. But that's why he have given his messages in his purports. So when we are reading, we are hearing Prabhupada. But at the same time, all said and done, if we have a mentor, sometimes it is helpful, because it's not always easy to understand, certain things that we may misinterpret them. Of course, Srila Prabhupada translations and purports are so clear. There's nothing wrong from that side, but our heart may not be so clean to understand them. So if we have some spiritual teacher, then it becomes more easy for us to understand. Okay, what I understand your question is, given the situation in this pandemic, what we will be able to render service to Krishna. Okay, so first and foremost, of course, it all depends upon where you are and what is your present situation. Generally, I'm speaking, what can be done? So you can, first of all, do your own hearing, your own reading, your own chanting. Make sure your family members are also reading, hearing. Together, since now everybody is working from home, maybe together you can have some kind of a routine where you do your daily sadhana together, your morning program together, and taking of prasadam. And given situation now, maybe you may not be able to even go to your next door neighbor because of this spreading of this disease. You'll have to be confined inside your house. Maybe you can make some phone calls and speak to some other, whoever is there in your relatives, friends, and have some kind of a Zoom prayer together, chanting for everybody's health. Of course, this is again on different level association. One is that you associate with some senior devotees and try to take more guidance. Like, they said every dark cloud has a silver lining. Even this corona has one beautiful facility, is that now you can connect all around the world. There are Zoom classes going on. All the devotees are available because they're not traveling anywhere. They're available for Zoom classes. So you can take association of senior devotees by hearing more classes. You can take association for devotees who are on your level, by giving them affection. Whatever you can, speaking to them regularly, giving them some confidence. Because sometimes some people may have lost their loved ones. Some people may be having some. There's so many things. So maybe mentally. And also you can give association to those who are new in Krishna consciousness by giving them some, courage. Okay, everything will be fine. And then giving them some tips. Maybe you can chant Narsingh Kavach. You can chant Narsingadev. See, chanting Hare Krishna, Narsimha Arati, same thing. Lord Krishna is Narsimha, Narsimha is Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is enough. But especially when you specifically tell this to devotees, look, Narsingadev will protect you, like how he protected Prahlad. His incarnation is specifically for protecting the devotees. This may be one good time that you can preach online by phone or by Zoom, or maybe you can send some nice quotes of Prabhupada by email to other people. Of course, distributing prasadam may not be possible. Some of these ISKCON temples are actively doing it, but you can give charity. You know, whatever way you can give some charity. You can give shramadan, you give your time as a charity also. Maybe you can connect yourself to some other temples who are doing some preaching. They may need some technical help if you are good at it. Whatever talent Krishna has given you, whatever way you can help, if you are good at computer or some this thing, you can help them with that and distributing the holy name. Main thing is now people need lot of solace, and India, the whole thing is turmoil. Oh my God, every single day I'm just going on hearing, so many deaths, it's too much. Maybe, you can have some chanting session for somebody who is sick, You can ask them that I'll chant for you for half an hour, or I'll chant my four rounds loudly. You can hear them. If they're interested, they can hear it over the phone or so, over the Zoom call. You can chant. Sometimes some people are old, You can tell them, I'll chant for you. Like that. Of course, there's so much... We are like, shackled. Even if you want to send Prabhupada japa tapes to some people who are sick, it's a lockdown here. We are not allowed to come out of the houses. Even want to send prasadam or send some mantra tapes or something, it's not possible. It's completely strictly, But it'll be, and all said and done, if we can't do anything, at least we can pray. Whatever time we have, we just pray for everybody. Pray for everybody. Yeah. Ruchi Mataji, your first and foremost service now is to take care of the child. That's your devotional service. Because Krishna is also there in the heart of the child, and Krishna is there in everybody's heart as Paramatma. So first and foremost is that you try and, do the best you can for the child. You can subtly do things. So maybe, practically you may not be able to do so much devotional service with the child at home. But you can do things like, put some Prabhupada tape in the background. It should be there 24 hours so that the child and you both get to hear holy name. And with child, I tell you, it's so difficult to plan any schedule. I'm a mother of two children. Of course, now my kids are grown up. My elder one is 20 now. But I tell you, with kids, you may make an ideal schedule, but it will go haywire. Everything will go haywire. It's not possible, especially with very young children. So the whole point is hearing of Hare Krishna. And of course, you can try planning it. If you see the proper patterns on what time they sleep and what time they do, what time they play, if you have those proper patterns. Again, I said, I can't make a blanket statement, because children, even sometimes that pattern is also not correct. Sometimes they'll sleep in the day, sometimes they'll sleep in the night, everything will go. So only thing, the thing you can do is play some kirtans, play some japa, play some classes in the background. That you can do continuous, because that will not disturb the child, neither it will disturb your sevas also. Just keep the classes going on and do whatever you have to do. And of course, again, it depends upon what stage or what age your child is. If it's very young child, few months, few years, it's difficult, 1 year old, 2 year old. But as they grow, after three and a half, 4 years, so many things will come back in your life, back to track. And then they'll have some definite patterns. Then you can decide your schedule. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says 8-8-8. 8 hours for body, 8 hours for relatives and friends, and 8 hours for your soul. But especially when you are mothers, I don't know how much you can make this 8-8-8. But whatever it is, you write it down. So when things are written, then it happens. If it's in our mind, it will not happen. Since you know your life, how it is, what time you are getting up, what time the child is getting up. At the same time, having said that, if you are a mother of a young child, you also need a lot of rest physically. You should not strain yourself much. This is a time that you also recover and take proper rest. But if already the child has crossed three and a half, then you can start getting back to normal track and make a schedule, what time you are getting up, what time the child takes rest. In that time you can do hearing, reading. But preaching, I don't know how much it's possible. Personally, I don't encourage so much of, Of course, now you won't go out because of the COVID situation. But personally, I don't encourage so much of leaving the child and trying to do some other service, because in the childhood is what they need a lot of time and care. So this is a time that you can tell them stories of Krishna, and you can sit and paint with them something, or you can, you know, hear something with them, or you can enact some pastimes, or, you know, make them laugh that way, or so like that. You'll have to do child-centered activity, or you should connect with those Matajis who have these children with the same age group, and then have some buddy, you know, like, you know, on Zoom you all can get together, and sometimes, you know, they talking to your child and you talking to their child will also help sometimes, you know. There is a variety, as one Mataji can tell stories to all these 3-4 children. So on that level with children, this is all we can do, art, and make them chant, sing bhajans. Children, they like music a lot from very young age. Also, if you see, there are a few months also, if you sing something, they'll become so peaceful. So many bhajans, I never tried to by heart them. Only thing, my mother used to hum them, sing them, and unconsciously I picked it up. So this one thing I know is that for children, even for my kids, I don't remember, given the situation I was in the temple and all, that I have, actually sat with them much and made them by heart. But they just picked it up because it's playing, or otherwise I'm singing while cooking and they just pick it up. So like that. And if they're a little more elder, you can actually have some cooking sessions with them, and let's cook something for Krishna today. The whole point is that you keep mentioning this, you know, Krishna as a part of your family, so that they'll grow up with that attitude. Like, I remember my mother doing it with us, you know, when we were young. Buy a pen also, she'll say, did you show it to Gopalji? And we had a small Laddu Gopal, because we are Gujaratis, you know, we used to follow this Pushti Marga Sampradaya, Vallabhacharya, so we used to have this Gopalji. So she'll immediately ask, did you show it to Gopalji? You bought a pen today? Or you buy a frock, you know, did you show it to Gopalji? So then we got used to like that. It became a tradition, talking to Gopalji, showing him whatever we bought. So again, I'm saying, like, you know, different, I don't know how old is your child, if it's few months, a few years, a little more elder. So like that, slowly you can inculcate where they have this relationship with the deity in your house, or if you don't have a deity, whatever picture you have in your house. And all said and done, one thing that I personally insist a lot with all the mothers is teach them to say thank you to the Lord. That one thing should be taught from very young age, you know. Once they start talking and all, make it a tradition that, you know, they go and say thank you, you know. They just chant Hare Krishna and then they say thank you. I remember my mother doing it with me, and then I gave it to my children before sleeping in the night. Now we have this on the bed, thanking him for the whole day. And then when we get up in the morning, touching the Mother Earth, you know, thanking her because she's going to bear our weight whole day. And then we used to do this Karagre Lakshmi, Karamule Saraswati, Karamadhyay to Govindam, you know, looking at the palms and then praying to Krishna. So like the little small things you can do, you know, which will become a part of their, you know, like it will become it's like a ritual actually, that they do it every day, and unconsciously Krishna will become part of their life, you know. They have to do this, then they have to do this. You can make them do the offering. That will be so exciting for them. They should go and offer it. So like that, little things you can do, and lots of stories for children. It is stories, even if they're very young, you know. Sometimes we may think they don't understand. Are they able to understand this story? But they understand everything. They're so smart. You can have this bedtime ritual, you know, tell them stories of Krishna before them, and ask them also to say something to you. So anyway, I can just go on and on, but like that, something. I don't know, does it help you, Ruchi?
Yeah, certainly. I gave us a darshan and spoke to us. We really feel blessed and thankful from the bottom of our hearts. Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for all your love and affection. I don't know if I deserve this much, but thank you so much for your flowery words.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Krishna, Krishna.